Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Verses 4 through 13 from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
To my knowledge, I have never been accused of being a man of few words. I have, however, been accused of being a man of many, 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 many words. I have been accused of being a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan, even though we lost to Wisconsin in overtime yesterday. Time heals, and Nebraska women's volleyball is doing great. I've been accused of being too compassionate. I'll take it. And I've been accused before of being too sensitive. Sometimes related to happy days and holidays where I want to make space for those who may have a difficulty with that celebration of holiday. You come up to Thanksgiving. Think about divorcees who will not have their children with them on Thanksgiving. When I think about Christmas, I think about those same people who are not having their kids on that holiday. I think about people who used to have this Thanksgiving tradition that can no longer happen because there has been a sense of loss. And on Mother's Day, I always try to make room on Mother's Day for those who have not been able to be mothers like they would like. For those mothers who have endured the intense tragedy of losing a child. For those who have lost their own mother. It was back in 2015 that I realized it had been 30 years since my own mother had died. I was in my early 40s. And it just hit me that morning, like a wall of bricks. And I wrote about it. To be honest with you, friends, I can't remember if I said this to you before, so I hope this isn't a repeat. But I wrote this on that day, the 30th anniversary of her death. I said, I honestly never pictured myself as a 30-year-old, mostly because when I was young, 30 seemed really old. Remember, I'm in my early 40s when I wrote this. when I was actually 30 and beyond, I still didn't feel old enough to be 30. And so to realize that it's been 30 years is mind-blowing and awkward and tragic and startling again. Today marks 30 years since she died, and honestly, I didn't remember that when I woke up today. Not only have I lived longer without her than with her, but I've lived a longer life than she did, and today is unexpectedly emotional. It seems both intensely fresh and a lifetime ago that I was in junior high school hearing the news that my mother had died. I remember my father's tears, my own tears, and the blur of days to follow. I remember all the times I would expect to see her, and then I didn't. I remember the times I would expect to hear her voice, and then I didn't. I remember the day I realized that my primary memories are of her photographs in a VHS tape, because I can't quite see her face without those old. And then again, because I can't see her that I remember. But the core parts of her that I remember have to do with her presence, her love, her laugh, her music. Not long ago, I learned about her intense love of college football, even to the point of listening to a game in her hospital room right after delivering one of her kids. I learned the family scandal that resulted in her following some stage actor halfway across the country, convinced that she'd marry him. And she did. And they had 3 kids. This is where I focus. The holiness of her love, the compassion of her heart, the deepness of her face, the music of her voice, the love of her incredible beauty. The classic movie Shawshank Redemption is the best to me. Whether you read the book by Stephen King or simply saw the movie with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman, among other amazing actors, there's a way that the main character, Andy Dufresne, is described walking around a prison yard as though he had no business being the spirit and presence that he was, as if he didn't have a care in the world, even though he'd been wrongly convicted of murder from a careless man. Paul says to rejoice in the Lord always. I wonder if that's what Andy was doing. Walking around a prison yard without a care in the world, having no business doing so under his circumstances. For those of us who have experienced any of the ways that there are to experience grief, to still have an opportunity to laugh, to choose to take that time to just know joy in the most brief of moments, when perhaps we have no business doing so, that's what it looks like to rejoice in the Lord always. When Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, do you remember from where he was writing? What business does Paul have to write the words, rejoice in the Lord always, when he himself is in prison? What is wrong with you? How could you have the audacity to speak words of rejoicing and joy and hope when you're in jail?
Perhaps this is what it looks like to rejoice.
And the beginning part of the verse that we didn't quite read this morning, it's just a couple of verses ahead of time, the beginning of the chapter, he writes to his brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, who are my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. But once I urge, I'm not going to pronounce these names right, I just want to confess that. Paul writes, loved ones, I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I'm also asking you, loyal friends, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the Spirit of God. Paul,
come to them has the audacity to write the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always," to a community that is struggling and has some internal disagreement. It's in a different letter from Paul that we talk about every commonly known as the fruits of the Spirit. I read a theologian earlier today who suggested that as Paul lists out the fruits of the Spirit, perhaps one way to read that, because of course he starts with love, is that everything else supports love as a quintessential fruit. What is the first one listed after love? Joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in everything. Be glad. It doesn't necessarily mean walking around with a giant smile on your face, not having a care in the world. I'm not sure that that's what Paul means. I'm not sure that's what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. But maybe what it means to rejoice in the Lord always is no matter the circumstances that we face, it is the wonderful joy of impending nuptials, the celebration of love and marriage, that we can do so filled with wonder and joy and hope. Even more than we have business to do. Or if we're in those circumstances of grief, because we come up on the first holiday we have, maybe we can find that spark of hope and prayer and love just for the briefest of moments of this is how it works. As we come together for Advent, as we come together for Christmas, as we anticipate the joy of new life, as we look forward to the work that is still to be done for our upcoming Christmas workshop, thank you to the leaders who are being part of it, as we prepare for a Christmas concert, as we celebrate a memorial this past Saturday, do each one of these things. Perhaps you've enjoyed it. No business